the second chapter, we're going to talk a little bit about about walking by faith and living for God this morning. And that's why I thought I wanted to play that. It's a daily walk to live for God. And it's not always easy. And we talk about that a lot around here. It's not always easy in life. Life presents challenges. There's times there's grief in life. Things happen, but it's life. And you have to make up your mind you're going to live for God regardless of what life presents to us. Oh, yeah, I forgot. I was commissioned a while ago to say something about this little fella, Kai. He looks like his daddy. Me and his daddy agree. Me and his daddy agree. And two or three agree on any touching anything. That's the way it is. And anyway, no, I thought he looked like his daddy. I know I'm out there, but, you know, I also told him I wear glasses and I don't see real well. But anyway, hey, glad to have you guys, and glad to have you today also. And Lillian's aunt's here with us, and I ought to know her name, but I don't. Ruby, glad to have you, Ruby. You're all right. Colossians. The second chapter, verses 1 through 10, we're going to talk about walking by faith. Faith is dead to doubt, dumb to discouragements, and blind to impossibilities. When you get saved, you really begin to serve God, and you're dead to doubt, dumb to discouragement, and blind to impossibilities. The devil will tell you you can't live for God, but you can. He'll do everything he can to discourage you, but I'm going to tell you, you can make it if you really want to. If you determine in your heart and mind you're going to live for God. Colossians chapter 2, verses 1 through 10 reads like this, but let me find it first. There we go. Now, for I want you to know what a great conflict, I'm reading out of the New King James today, I have for you and those in Laodicea. For as many as have not seen my face in the flesh, that their hearts may be encouraged, being knit together in love, and attaining to all riches of the full assurance of understanding, to the knowledge of the mystery of God, both of the Father and of Christ, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Now this I say, lest any one should deceive you with persuasive words. For though I am absent in the flesh, yet I am with you in spirit, rejoicing to see your good order and the steadfastness of your faith in Christ. Now the verse started out, lest anyone should deceive you with persuasive words. You need to understand today, there's people will try to persuade you not to serve Christ. But Paul said, I see the steadfastness of your faith in Christ. As you, therefore, have received Christ Jesus as the Lord, so walk in Him, rooted and built up in Him and established in the faith as you have been taught, abounding in it with thanksgiving. Beware lest anyone cheat you through philosophy and empty deceit according to the tradition of men, according to the basic principles of the world, and not according to Christ. For in Him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and you are complete in Him who is the head of all principality and power. Father, once again today, we stand behind this sacred desk and ask that you would anoint these lips of clay to present this word in a right way. In Jesus' name, amen. Paul here is describing a Christian's, a believer's life in, as a walk. It's a walk. It's the walk of faith. And so he's described it that way today. And how do you receive Christ? How do you receive Christ? It's by faith. It's by faith that you receive Him. We don't pour any secret potion on you. You know, laying on of hands doesn't get you saved. Things that you have to receive Christ by faith. And so Paul said it's a faith that you begin to, your journey living for Christ. It's not by performances or promises, or behavior or conduct. However, it'll change your performance, it'll change your behavior, it'll change your conduct when you get saved. But you cannot do those things and become a Christian. You have to become a Christian by faith in Jesus Christ. And Paul tells us, once you become a Christian, that you walk by faith. It's all a faith walk today. I don't always feel like I'm a Christian. Do you? I always know I am, but I don't always feel like I am. Sometimes I don't act like I am, although I should. I have my moments. So do you. None of us are perfect in this life. We have been perfected in our spirits, but our flesh is still weak. We're still battling flesh every day of the week in some form or fashion. It gets easier sometimes as it goes on, and other times it's difficult. Understand me. I don't think you ought to go out here and it doesn't give you a license to do what you want to do. Understand me there. And you know me well enough to know that. But I just want you to know we're walking by faith. And so there's five or six things I want to share with you today about that. To help you maybe in your walk of faith, to help you make this journey a little bit easier for you. I don't know if it will or not, but we're going to try to help you have an easier journey. And that's all about going to church. I mean, you go to church to build up your faith. Amen. To learn something more about living for God, to have the fellowship of one another. So first off today, we know if we're going to be a Christian, we must be firmly rooted in Jesus Christ. That's first and foremost, to be firmly rooted in Jesus Christ. If you're not rooted in Him, grounded in Him, you're going to fall. You're going to falter. You're not going to make it. Let's look at a scripture, John 15. If you would, just for a moment, John chapter 15, and I don't know if that's exactly where I want to go. I believe it is, though. We are rooted in Him. And we know the scripture. It's very familiar. It's talking about the vine and the branches. And it says, Jesus says, I'm the true vine. And my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, He takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, He prunes that it may bear more fruit. Then He says, you are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. Abide in me. I want to stop right there, but He says, abide in Him. We are to be closely knit with Jesus and firmly grounded in Christ Jesus if we expect to grow and flourish and prosper in the Lord Jesus Christ. If you want to bear fruit, you can't do it on your own. If you don't do it right, it won't happen. You can plant a rose bush, and my wife's not very good at planting rose. She can plant them. She's not very good at getting them to flourish. That's the truth. We had no rose bush. We had it for 30 years on our back fence. She never one time fertilized it. She didn't dig around it. I mowed around it. I hit it with the lawnmower a few times. But we never did anything with that old rose bush. But it would try its best every spring to put on some buds. And it would finally make a rose. It wouldn't be a very pretty rose. It wouldn't be very full. And it'd be kind of an ugly rose. But it would put off something. Just think of what it might have been if it had been grounded in the right proper, put in the proper soil with the proper type maintenance, and if you'd had a vine dresser who would have pruned it properly, who would have fertilized it, who would have taken care of it, like God, our vine dresser, takes care of us when we are grounded and rooted in Jesus Christ through faith in Him. You understand, you bloom where you're planted, but you're planted in Christ Jesus. He says you cannot bear fruit unless you abide in the vine. So we need to be firmly rooted in Jesus Christ. Secondly, we are to be built up in Him. We see this, what I'm talking about, in Colossians, the second chapter, in the seventh verse is where I'm taking my main text today. And it says, rooted and built up in Him and established in faith as you've been taught, abounding in it with thanksgiving. And that's the points I'm making. Number two is we are to be built up in Him. And that's a continuing process. It's a continuing process. You don't plant like I said, the rose bush and just like we did and just let it out there by the fence and say, do the best you can. And that's all that old rose bush did for years and years and years. And it finally died a couple of years ago. Gave up the ghost. Went to rose heaven. I don't know where it went. It just died. It's dead. It's gone. I just went. I can mow that spot now. I don't have to go around it no more. Just mow right over it, zip right across it. I had to pick up the thorns that's off the dead branches, throw them away. You know, the little bridge, anyway, you know what I'm talking about, the branches with the thorns on them. And anyway, but it's a continual process. And if you look at Matthew, the seventh chapter, and the 24th verse, we'll see a little picture of that. It says, Jesus said this, therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken him to a wise man who built his house on the rock. And the rain descended, the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, and it did not fall, for it was founded on the rock. But everyone who hears these sayings of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. And the rain descended, the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, and it fell. And great was its fall. We got to be rooted and grounded in Christ Jesus. We must be built up in Him. We must be built on the solid rock, Jesus Christ. If you don't, you'll falter. Your foundation will stand. When the wind of turmoil comes into your life and the rains of discouragement come into your life, you won't stand. You'll turn tail and run. You'll be one of those that throws up your hands and say, if I had it better before I was a Christian. My life wasn't this bad before I got saved. Have you ever heard people say that? Well, I'm kind of like this old guy on this video, Jerry Clower. I'd rather have Jesus than silver and gold. Wouldn't you? I want to stand for Christ in the middle of adversity. No matter what comes my way, I'm going to praise Him. And it's the way it's got to be, church. If we're really in Christ, no matter what happens, we praise Him. We serve Him with all of our hearts. We don't let anything get us down. Oh, it might get us down, but we don't let it keep us down. We know in whom we trust, and that's Jesus Christ. Look at Ephesians, the second chapter, and the 19th verse. Paul said this to the church at Ephesus, now therefore we are no longer strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God, having been built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ being Himself the chief cornerstone. You will not ever be a prosperous Christian or a successful Christian without being rooted and grounded in Christ Jesus and the teachings of the Word of God. You will never stand without Christ. You can have all the programs in the world, the best music that was ever on a Christian stage. But if you don't have Christ, you don't have nothing. You just don't. You could have the best preacher that ever graced the church. But if you don't have Christ, that preacher's not going to do you a lot of good unless he can say something that leads you to a knowledge of faith in Christ. We must be born again. And so we are to be built up in Jesus Christ. He says, Jesus being the chief cornerstone, in whom the whole building being fitted together grows into a holy temple of the Lord, in whom also, you also are being built together for a dwelling place of God in the Spirit. You know, church, we're being built up a holy temple. You didn't realize that? Have you not realized that? That God looks at you as His sanctuary? His earthly sanctuary. You're a holy vessel, a holy temple unto God. We are a new stone in Christ's temple. And He loves you so very much. He wants you to live for Him and be successful in living for Him. We are, number three, we are to be established in our faith. We do this through praying. And I can't emphasize prayer enough. We do this by reading God's Word. And there has to be a lot of emphasis on the Word of God. If you never read the Word of God, how do you know what God intends for you? If you never even read any scriptures, how do you know, you know, what God says in the Word He means? And it's all good. If you've never read the Old Testament, how do you know anything about hardly anything? There's a lot of examples back there of how God directed His people and how God said, if you'll do this, this is what I'm going to do. And they did it, and this is what God did. And just like you read of the patriarchs of faith, like Abraham and Isaac and Jacob, and you see all the things that God did and how that they went into bondage, but yet God in that brought Joseph down and prepared a place for them so they could have, you know, so they could live. And then He let them out through Moses and Aaron and then conquered the land through Joshua and Caleb and then set up all these things that God's done for His people. Don't you think He'd do the same thing for you? What He does for others, He'll do for you. It's a fact. It's a fact. He loves you that much. We are to be established in our faith. Hebrews 11:1 says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. We need to have faith and be established in our faith. Look at 2 Corinthians, the 4th chapter, for just a moment. That's several scriptures today, but it's okay, I think. And 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 8. Says we are hard pressed on every side, but yet not crushed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Struck down, but not destroyed. Always carrying about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our body. For we who live are always delivered to death for Jesus' sake, that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our mortal flesh. So that then death is working in us, but life in you. Do you understand that we are to live for Him and walk by faith today? Understanding that Christ is going to take care of us, He says, goes on to say, and since we have the spirit of faith, according to what is written, I believe, and therefore I spoke. We also believe, and therefore speak, knowing that He who raised up Jesus, Lord Jesus, will also raise up us up with Jesus and present us with you. For all things are for your sakes, that grace, having spread through many, may cause thanksgiving to abound to the glory of God. What's He saying there, church? He's saying you are being established in the faith, and when you're established in faith, there ain't no weapon formed against you can prosper. That's what He's saying. Simple. We're perplexed, we're confused, we're all these things, but everything's all right because we're walking by faith. And we believe that we're going to make it, and it's going to be all right, and it is going to be all right. You're going to make it. There's no reason for you not to make it. But you got to make up your mind you're going to live for God. Have you determined that? There's some haven't determined that. There's people in this church, this little church, that hasn't determined they're going to live for God. It's a daily decision. I made a decision to live for God. Now, every day I make a new decision that I'm going to continue living for God, but some get up every day not knowing whether they're going to live for God or not. They're going to wait and see what happens. You can't do that. You got to make up your mind you're going to live for God regardless of what happens. You don't know what you'll face this afternoon. You don't know what you'll face tomorrow. You just don't know. But you got to have a determination that you're going to put your faith in God regardless of what happens. And that's what we do. You have to do that. We walk by faith, not by sight. When it happens, we just keep serving God. I've determined I'm going to live for God. I'm determined. So we are established in our faith. And then fourth, he says we're to be instructed. We need instruction. You're not going to trust somebody you don't know. And if you don't know God personally, we probably won't want to trust him. We get to know him through his word and by the Holy Spirit. But part of the way to get to know him through his word is to attend church. You're here today. Isn't that great? You're here. Aren't you glad you're here today? You're here to be instructed. I don't know if this instruction is doing you any good, but you're here being instructed today. And guess what? You being here being instructed is being encouragement to others. Can I just say that? When you don't go to church, you're a discouragement to other people. Well, preacher, sometimes I can't go to church. Well, we understand that, and God does too. But what I'm talking about is people who just can't make up their mind whether they're going to church or not. They get up on Sunday. It depends if they get up on Sunday or not. Not they get up and think about it. They say, well, I just ain't going to get up. Or Saturday night, they determine already, I'm not going to go tomorrow. It's not because I'm sick. Not because I had to work, it's because I just decided I'm not going to go. You need to go for instruction, and you go for fellowship, and you go to be an encouragement as well as receive encouragement. By the way, it's more about you being an encourager than it is to receive the encouragement. But if you go to be an encourager, you'll get encouraged. Amen? We need you here. We look for you. We're disappointed when you're not here, regardless of who you are. Regardless of your bad attitude when you're here, we still miss you. We do. I know y'all think everybody, I'll leave that alone. Anyway, we're to be instructed. Hebrews the 10th chapter, I'll prove it to you right there, okay? I'll prove it to you and I'll move on. Hebrews the 10th chapter. And I got one more point to make, and then we can go eat sandwiches. Y'all might want me to stall a little longer today. Hebrews, I'm looking forward to sandwiches. How about y'all? Hebrews, it's food. Just come on. It's good. Hebrews, the 10th chapter and the 23rd verse. It says what it says. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope, because he who promised is faithful. And let's do it without wavering. Then it says, and let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works. We're to be considerate of one another, to stir one another up into love and good works. Then he says this, forsaking not the assembling of yourselves together as a manner of some, but exhorting one another so much more as you see the day approaching. How many believe the Lord's coming? How many think it's closer than it used to be? Well, it has to be, don't it? We're another day closer than we were yesterday. A whole week since last Sunday. 2 weeks since some of you saw me last. Man, come on. That's last time I preached, I talked to Paul a little bit about the coming of the Lord. And we're closer than we first believed. And it says, go to church more as you see the day approaching. And it says, because he's faithful, and we need to consider one another to stir up love and good works. We got reasons to go. And then what's the next verse say? For if we sin willfully, after we receive the knowledge of truth, there remains no longer sacrifice for our sin. So what's God saying? He said, go to church, quit sinning. Quit skipping church on purpose. That's how I read it. I may be wrong about that, but that's how I got out of that. You don't skip church on purpose. You don't make plans to skip church. You make plans to go to church. Come on now. I could go a whole lot deeper there if I wanted to. I could meddle. Not get a medal, but meddle. In other words, get in your business. I don't want to get in your business. I want you to go to church. I want you to serve God. I want you to learn how to be faithful. I'd like to see you grounded and rooted in the Lord Jesus Christ. I'd like to see your vine producing fruit. Amen? That's what it's all about. And then what's the last thing? We are to overflow with gratitude. We are to overflow with gratitude. It's important that we give thanks. What did he say a while ago? He said, my son was in that car wreck, didn't know whether he was going to live or die. Didn't he know if he's dead or not at the time? He said, Lord, whatever happens, I'm going to praise you. We got to be, let our faith lead us to an overflow of gratitude for what God has done in our lives, regardless of the circumstances we face as we navigate this life. Because life's going to throw you some curves. There's going to be some things that are not good. Be some things that's going to make you really sad. Some things that hurt. But God's still God. And He deserves the praise and the glory and the thanks and your gratitude, regardless of what life brings. We're in a fallen world. Because of that, things won't go the way God intended for them to go. But God's still God. And the day of Jesus' return is soon. And He's bringing His reward with Him. But He's taking us back. Aren't you looking forward to that? Being done with trouble and trials. Sitting down with our loved ones that's gone on before. Visiting with them a little while. Being in the presence of the Lord for eternity. It'll be wonderful there. And there'll be laughter. There'll be a lot of joy. I can't imagine how ecstatic we're all going to be when we realize we made it. I can't even begin to fathom. In my small mind, I cannot comprehend what it's going to be like to feel gravity lose its hold and realize that I'm being caught up to be with Jesus and to think, I made it. Because there's sometimes I feel so inadequate. You know, maybe you don't, but I do. Feel like there ain't no way I ought to make it. But one of these days, just to think, as gravity loses its hold, it'd be so quick, it's, you know, somewhere between here and there, I'm probably going to have a breakdown. I ain't going to shout. I'm not going to try to dance on clouds. I'm probably just going to just basically roll up in a ball and just cry with gratitude that I made it. Come on, maybe it'd be different than that, but somehow or another, I'm just going to cry. Lord, I made it. I made it. You know, I won't be running up and down the golden streets for a while. I'll probably just get up there somewhere and just get on my face. Just weep. Not tears of sadness. Tears of joy. Thanking Him that I made it. Amen. Church, you can make it. I believe you can. I believe you will. Amen. Would you stand? We've got some people to pray for this morning. I hope this has helped you a little bit. I want you to make it. But you've got to be rooted and grounded in Him and do these things. We've got several people that are sick today, and there may be more than what I have written down here. But we want to have corporate prayer for them. Now, you may be here and you need prayer, but we're going to pray for these. And if you need prayer, you come and we'll pray for you after that. But Clara DeLong, I got word a while ago, she's back in the hospital. So pray for her. Ron has had a stomach virus or flu since Wednesday. And missed work Thursday and Friday, so he's very ill today. And Dale, of course, her ongoing issues. And Bertha called this morning, and she's not feeling well. Melinda has some kind of bumps or some kind of something on her all over. She don't know if she's contagious or not, so she didn't come today. And then the Ingram family, Brother Rondell and Sister Barbara's former pastor, Sister Tanya's former pastor, he passed away this week, and that family, of course, grieving the loss of Brother Ingram, a former pastor over Church of the Living God, pastor there over 30 years, I believe. And so they've lost their, you know, their loved one, and so remember that family as we pray. And then you got any other spoken requests, and then after, if you need prayer personally, we'll have you come up. Yes. Okay. All right. Remember Kevin, her son-in-law? Tom? All right. Remember Tom's dad today? All right. Pray for Tom's dad that everything go well tomorrow when he has a pacemaker replaced. Is anybody else? Remember Martha's parents today. They're both sick, and also Martha's not feeling well today. She's able to come on and help us on stage today, but she's not feeling good at all. Anyone else? All right. Would you join me in prayer for these needs right now? And then we'll have personal prayer for some of you tomorrow. Father God, once again, in the precious name of Jesus, the name above every name. Oh, today, Lord, we lift up these needs to you, each and every one.